The title of today's message is Between Two Chapters. Every single one of us are between two chapters. We have chapters behind us, seasons behind us, and we also have chapters ahead of us. And we are between two right now. You're in between. And what the Spirit of the Lord tells you and confirms within you is that there's something more for you. You can just tell right in here. You don't know what it looks like. You just know. Now, oftentimes, it is so incredibly discouraging because you don't know what it is, and it just seems like it's never going to happen. Whatever it is, you feel like it's not going to happen. And sometimes there is a clear, obvious area that you need God to break through. That's what you need desperately. You don't want it. I want to win the lottery. You know what I'm saying? But there are certain things you don't want it. You need it. And I say it all the time. We all have one thing in common. Every one of us are believing God for a miracle. Now, God has already done miracles in your life. You're believing God for miracles in the future. You're caught in between two chapters. I've got three major points for you today. The first one is going to be common places, holy ground. The second one is going to be about your circle of influence. And the third one, I know it doesn't make sense now, but it will, is your robe that you're wearing tells you what season you're in. Let's use Hannah as a case study. Hannah was a person in the Bible. We'll read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2 in just a second. But she was barren. She could not have a baby. And more than anything in the world, she wanted a baby. And so now she's in the temple, she's praying, she's calling out to God because there's nothing that she can do in order for her deepest desire to take place. Sometimes God will put you in a season that you cannot change. Just so you'll lift your head, you'll look at him and say, God, I cannot change this. I need you desperately. So this is where Hannah's, absolutely, come on. This is where we're at. So this is where Hannah is, and we're going to start reading together in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21, I'm sorry, 10 and 13. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed. Her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. I don't know if you've ever prayed this way before, where you are desiring God so bad you don't even have the words to say it. It's just in here. You're thinking in that direction. You don't have, if you had every word of the English language at your command, you still wouldn't know how to word your prayers. It is so deep in your spirit, you don't know how to word it. This is Hannah. She's on her knees. She's praying, but her lips are not moving. It's like her eyelashes are so tight together. Nothing's coming out of her eye. If she's from the Woodlands, Texas, or anywhere in the South, her eyelashes are tight. You know, in the South, you kind of stick them on there, and you don't want to open them because one might end up over here. And how do I know about this? Because my wife taught me this. Sometimes I give her a kiss and it's just like she's like, I feel it fanning me. You know, if I kiss her too long, it's gonna end up on my face. She, you know, but just squeezing your eyes and desiring him. But now here's the thing. Eli, the pastor, the priest, he could not understand the encounter that she was having. When people look at you, they do not understand what God is doing in you. Now, when they look at you, they're saying, I want you to do this. I believe you can do this. This is what I see, and that's what I see. But they don't know what God is doing in you right now. And what was taking place is that a common place was becoming holy ground. When you are stepping into a new chapter, common places become holy ground. I want to illustrate this the best I can. I believe my wife can do it better than I can. Would you put your hands together for my wife, Allie? Go ahead.
I do have fake eyelashes, but that's, I like them. I just want to share. So the church is 20 years old in June, and it has been a gritty journey for us, a great one. But at the very beginning, it was really gritty. I was 25, you were 27. We had a 10-month-old baby, and we were starting a church. And I just didn't even feel qualified, number one. But we were also rolling up to gyms with a trailer and unpacking things. And basically, we did everything. We were the greeter. We were the usher, pastors, making member bulletins. So I was folding bulletins. I mean, we did everything. And I remember, you know, the kids grabbing them, getting them to church. You single mamas out there, I feel your pain. I have 21 years of getting my kids to church. They're the hardest now that they're, I'm just kidding. But it was just a lot. And I remember when Presley was about going into her preteens, I was doing all the things and I'd speak on the stage and I was coming to two services and trying to go on the trips with Frankie and do everything I could to be in the ministry and do it all like you're supposed to do as a pastor's wife. And I remember on the inside of me, I felt like this stirring. And like the Lord was speaking to me, just saying, Allie, they need you right now. The kids need you. They're going to need you in this season. They're going into their teen years. And I remember thinking, I can't stop. I can't, I'm not going to be, people are going to think I'm not there. I'm not doing all the things. I'm not what I'm supposed to be. But I remember knowing that that is what I was supposed to do. And I backed off and I stopped coming to both services and I couldn't go on all the trips and I couldn't do all the things. And I thought all this stuff's going to drop and it's all going to fall. But you know what? None of it fell because I was obedient to what God was calling me to do. And I remember thinking, you know, I'm not going to be that typical pastor's wife that I'm supposed to be, but you know what? I'm also not raising typical pastor's kids. And they're going to be different. And they're going to want to be in the house of God. They're going to want to raise their hands as high as they can when they worship. They're going to want to find a place on their own in their room to pray. They're going to be different. And I thought, you know, if this is what it takes, it was a quiet room, if you want to say a quiet few years. They weren't thanking me for it. They didn't know what was going on. All they wanted was food, you know, kids, there's no thanks. But I want to tell you something. A couple months ago, I was talking to Presley, and she said, Mama, do you remember when you made that shift and we stopped going to the babysitter after church and we stopped, you know, not seeing you guys on Sundays and you did that and you made that decision to be home? She said, that was a changing point for me. She said, I felt seen, I felt loved, and I felt important, and I knew I needed you, and I didn't even have to ask. You made that shift without me asking. And she goes, that is why I go and search for a celebration in College Station. That is why I serve at my church on a Sunday morning. That is why I get alone in my room. And I'm like, God, if that's what it's for, if that's the quiet times or what you said, you know, it's in the holy ground of my house was where I needed to serve. That was my ministry during these years. Now I feel a shift coming. I still have a little preteen coming up there. But, you know, if we're faithful in the seasons and we're obedient to what looks crazy, you never know what God can do. And I'm just so proud of you guys and for what he's done. Yeah.
I can remember when that season happened and she had people coming up to her and I had people coming up to me saying, you know what, I just see your wife doing this and I just see your wife doing that and I see your wife doing this. And we would just back up and go, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It is rare It is rare, extremely rare, that people know what God is doing in you right now. And when you are stepping into a new chapter, you will step into a new chapter and go, "What? This is common and unimpressive to everyone, but I think I'm standing on holy ground right now. I think that this is unusual." And I want to say this to you. People may look at your life and just say, you're unimpressive. Unimpressive. You feel like people just look right through you. But when you're stepping into a new chapter, you recognize, hey, my bedroom, I can walk into my bedroom and I'm connecting with the Lord. I don't know what it is, but point number two, your influence begins to expand. I don't know what it is, but I got a passion for my kids in a way I've never had before. I've got a passion for that person more than I've ever had before. When you step into a new season, you know you're stepping into a new chapter when a new person becomes a burden to you. When a new person becomes a burden to you. Let me show you what happened with Hannah. God gave her Samuel, but watch this. 1 Samuel 2:21. The Lord visited Hannah. She bore more children, and Samuel grew before the Lord. What happened? Her influence grew from just her to Samuel. But then after that, she had five more kids. She was getting the hang of it, okay? Now, when people looked at her, maybe she wasn't as fiery and public as some of the other ladies during her time, like an Esther. But watch what she was doing in private. Check this out. This is Hannah, unimpressive Hannah, shooting children out like arrows. Psalms 27, verse 4. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man or woman whose quiver is full of them. Hannah shooting out Samuel, the second son, the third son, the fourth son, the first daughter, the second daughter. You know you're stepping into a new season when new people and new faces are just sticking out to you. Let me take a shift and say this. For those of you, your children are already grown, and the devil may say to you, "Oh, you missed that chapter. Oh, you blew it." I want to remind you that any thought you think that makes you feel down or discouraged is not from you and is not from God. It is from the devil. And he is whispering those words into you. And you also know it's the devil whenever he begins to tell you, if you're taking notes, never lies. Never lies. Your children will never be saved. Your finances will never be better. You're never going to get out of this season. These are never lies. I'm going to say this scripture every single Sunday, I hope. Psalms 56:9. The very day you call for help, the tide of the battle turns. Your kids are just walking down the street, and there's an angel standing right next to them. They sit down at the table, there's an angel right above them. Do you receive that? But I want to talk to you further about influence when you're stepping into a new season. There's something called father and mothers in the Lord. You did not birth them. But there was something about them. It's like a halo effect. There's something about them that draws you to them. Again, point number two is when you step into a new season, your influence expands. Something draws you to that person. The Bible is full of people that were fathers in the Lord. They were mothers in the Lord. They looked at that person and said, You're my son. You're my daughter. Let me show you a series of examples. There you go. Moses had a son in the Lord named Joshua. Eli had Samuel. Elijah had Elisha. Jesus, the disciples. Paul, Timothy, Titus, and Onesimus. Thank you, Allie. Just because you preach for a few minutes, I mean, you can have my job. Lydia oversaw the Philippian church. John, the early believers, and he called them this. They were young believers. He said this, "You're like children to me." These were adults. "You're like children to me. You're my children." Priscilla, Apollos. Apollos was like the T.D. Jakes of the time, like the best preacher in those days. Paul was not a good preacher. He was a contemporary. Paul would be preaching over here. Apollos would be preaching over there. Everybody's saying, "Apollos is great. He's great. He's great." And they're talking about Paul, and they're like, "You are boring. You are boring." That's what was taking place. And Paul says this, I think it's in 2 Corinthians chapter, I think it's 14, maybe 11. I got to get sharper on that. But he says this. He goes, "Even though I am an unskilled speaker, I do not consider myself inferior to super apostles. I am an unskilled speaker. I am boring. Apollos is amazing." But look at this. Priscilla, a mother in the Lord to Apollos. Tabitha, the widows in Joppa. Mothers in the Lord. I talk about this lady all the time, and I will as long as I can. Her name's Jeannie Mayo. She's my mother in the Lord. My father came up to me when I was like 16, and he says this. He goes, "Frankie, I have taken you as far as I can take you." Like, you're grown. Like, I can control you a little bit because you're in my house. And if you're in my house, it's my rules, my house, your rules. But like, the next stage for you spiritually, I've taken you as far as I can. And I'll never forget this woman. She was 51 and I was like 19. And she looked at me and she goes, "You are my son." And I looked at her and I called her mom every day from that day forward. And she'd look at me and she would say this, "I'm a diamond cutter. And when I look at a person, I can tell how many carrots they have. And you've got a lot of carrots. And I'm going to mentor you and I'm going to take care of you." And she called me every single day for 6 months. Every day. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for her. She went to go speak at a conference in Canada. And a young lady was assigned to her to drive her around. And she's sitting in the car and she looks at the young lady. And she comes home and she goes, "If I've heard the Lord correctly, the Lord told me that that girl was going to be your wife." She goes, "Maybe I missed it. Maybe I didn't." Don't you love people that are that honest? Everybody that gives me a word of the Lord is like 100% sure. And I'm like, wow, John the Baptist wasn't 100% sure. He was in prison and they said, "This guy's out here doing miracles." And he's like, "Go ask him if he's the Son of God." But we all have friends that never miss it, but that's fine. But she goes, "Frankie, if I heard God, he said that this one is for you." And when you're 21, you hear something like that, today's the day to bring her down. Now she's sitting on the front row. Mothers and fathers in the Lord, can I tell you this? When you look at someone and you say, "I am going to chase you. I am going to be that voice in your ear." And, you know, cell phones can be your friend in this area. Just this past weekend, I took the phone and videotaped myself looking at two different people. I did it two different times. I want you to know I'm thinking about you and I love you. Send. I send text messages to people sometimes and I just say, I'm thinking about you, period. That's all, period. These are people that I feel knitted to. Just like you, I got 12 billion numbers in my cell phone. I don't know any of them. I know like 10. But there are people that these people are knitted to me. Let me go on to the next point. So first of all, when you're stepping into a new season, common places become holy places. When you're stepping into a new season, you begin to burn for certain people, new people. Now, number three, the robe that you're wearing tells you what season you're in. Let me illustrate going back to Hannah. Every single year, his mother made him a little robe. What does that mean? When Samuel was little, she brought him to the temple and she looked at Eli and she said, will you mentor him? Will you be a father in the Lord to him? And he lived at the temple. And once a year, she would show up to the temple with a brand new coat, a brand new robe. But she only came once a year. And so when she brought the robe, she had to have not his stature today in mind, but who he was going to be in the future at the same time. So when she gave him the robe, it was a little bit bigger so that he could grow into it. Are you with me? Say yes. So when he initially got it, let me just visualize it. Luke, come on up here. This is my son Luke. This is his friend Callie. Come on up here. They'll illustrate it for me. If you're looking at him and you're like, I can see some resemblance, but he's better looking. He's the 2.0 version of me. All right. So first, let me put the first coat on him. This is, if I visited Luke once a year, he's got like, I want him, like, I don't see him today. I see him today. It'll keep you warm today. But I also see who you're going to be in the future. You're going to grow. And God, when you're walking into a new season, it's like, oh my goodness, what? I'm going to fail. I'm going to blow it. I can't take it. You can't sleep at night. You're nervous. You're sick. You think you're more convinced that you're going to fail than what you're going to do good. Your flesh is telling you it's over, alldone.com. Your spirit is saying, no, 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 greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. And then you're like, no, greater than he is in the world is greater than me. And you're just tired going back and forth. And you're like, dear God, if you don't help me, I am in trouble. And sometimes that season is with your kids. Sometimes it's with your family. Sometimes you're just overwhelmed with what God is doing with you in the present season. You're overwhelmed. It's too big. You're nervous. You're scared. But as the season progresses, the season doesn't get easier, but you get stronger. So what happens? Now you're in the same season, but God's done so much in that season that it's not overwhelming. You got this. You got this. The challenge and the skill are equal. You got this. The challenge and your faith are equal. You got this. Life isn't easy, but you got it. Now, when you're here, enjoy it, because you're not there very long. You're not here very long. This is the season where you're saying, God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. I love you. You've been faithful on the mountains. You've been faithful in the valleys. Like, this is when you got this. Somebody comes up to you and says, hey, what can I pray with you about? You're like, I'll make something up if you want me to, but I'm doing pretty good right now. Enjoy that. It doesn't last very long. Because what happens? What happens is that all of a sudden, you're in the same season. But now, the season is too small. What used to be hard is now easy. It used to fit. The challenge in your faith matched. But now you've been in that season for so long that it's easy now. And not only is it easy now, it's frustrating. Because, God, do you have anything else for me, or am I stuck? Am I stuck? I'm irritated. I'm frustrated. My marriage used to be worse, but it's stuck right now. My kids used to be worse, but it's stuck right now. I used to make less money. I'm glad I'm making more than I did, but I'm stuck right now. I'm stuck. And this is when everything's too small. Not enough money. You're not close enough to the Lord. Everything is too small. If you feel like that, you are inching towards the next season. It's an indication. And what does that next season look like? Because everything is frustrating because it's so easy, but it's so lame. If you're in a lame season, I got good news and bad news. The good news is that's an indication that the chapter is almost over. You're going into a new chapter. The not so good news is it's time to go into a season where you're overwhelmed again. Because in order for God to grow you, He must stretch you. In order for your faith to grow, you have to be in a season of uncertainty. You can't be in a season of, I got this. And that's not wrong. That's when the coat fits. I got this. But when you start getting restless, and you're starting off feel restless, like my wife, the coat was too big. How am I going to devote my life to my children? And I just birthed a church with my husband. We had 3 people from the Woodland Spring Conroe area on our first service. 3. 3, actually 6. It was me, my wife, and Presley, and then 3 people from the Woodlands. 3. We birthed this, and now she's given it up wearing this. And now a decade later, the jacket is too small, and she's ready for something else. And that next something else is going to end up looking like this all over again. Are you with me? Say yes. Are you with me? Say yes. Give them a big round of applause. You guys can sit down. The question is what jacket are you wearing this morning? Are you overwhelmed? God, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how you're going to do this. Are you in that sweet spot? Like, God. Or are you restless? Like, everything, God, this is too easy. Where are you at? The jacket that you're wearing is an indication of the season that's coming. So I'm so happy my wife is wearing a small jacket, but the next season, she's going to be biting her nails. And those of you who are single and you think to yourself, if I was just married, that's married people laughing. If I was just married, I would have somebody to carry this burden with. Every married person is carrying a burden their spouse knows nothing about. Now, Allie and I share everything, everything. But there's certain hopes, there's certain fears, there's hopes, fears, hopes, fears that are so deep here. So whether you're single or whether you're married, that's there. So those of you who think you're an unhappy marriage because it's in there, no, you're not an unhappy marriage. It's in there because God's calling you to a new season, and you're between chapters. And I don't know, I feel like this is just for somebody in the room. Sometimes we get mad at our spouse for not doing what only God can do. And so then we get bitter at them because we got a hole in our heart and we're looking at them and you're like, I'm not happy because look. And your spouse is looking back at you and you're like, I'm giving you my all. That's all I got. And there's things that the person who loves you the most in this world will never be able to give you. And so you may be looking at your spouse. I can't believe I'm talking about this. It must be for somebody. You may be looking at your husband saying, you're not giving me what I need. And your husband's thinking, like, I'm not purposely holding anything back. Like, it's all I got. And then the husband's looking at the wife at the same time. You're telling me I'm not giving you what you need. Well, guess what? You're not giving me what I need. But the wife is not standing there going, I woke up this morning and I decided I'm not going to give you what you need. Nobody's thinking that. The reality is that nobody can give you everything you need. Now, how in the world am I going to tie that back into my... Maybe I won't. Why don't you stand up and give the Lord a standing ovation? Come on, give it to him. Give it to him. I'd like for all of our prayer partners to come down to the front. Every single person in this room, I believe, is standing in this room thinking to themselves, I'm so glad I came to church today. Also, with that same thought, every person's thinking that, but there's some of you that are thinking, whew, almost didn't come. Even though you're happy about being here, I can promise you, next Sunday morning, you will have the same decision to make on whether or not to come or not. I want to challenge you. In Psalms 26, verse 8, it says, I love the sanctuary of the Lord because it is where his presence dwells. You should not be surprised that the enemy doesn't want you to come to church. You should not be surprised by that. Philippians 2:11 says, we are not unaware of the enemy's schemes. But don't you feel taller this morning? Don't you feel stronger this morning? Don't you feel closer to the Lord this morning? Prioritize his presence. Those of you that have children in Sunday school, whether you feel like coming or not, you have to come just for them. It's not even really about you. It is about you. You understand what I'm saying? If your heart were to stop beating in the next 5 minutes, are you 100% sure you're ready to see Jesus? Your heart is like throwing a basketball in the air. You know, at some point, it's going to stop bouncing. You just don't know how many bounces there's going to be before it stops. That's how your heart is. You know at some point it's going to stop. You just don't know how many beats you have. And my cousins in town and my wife and Ben were sitting in the living room last night, and we were talking about all the people that died too young that are friends of ours. One of them had a heart attack like that, my age. Stood up from the couch, bang. You never know. If you're in this room and you're saying, I'm not for sure, I want you, in a minute, I want you to come down and take the hand of a prayer partner and let them pray with you. If you're in this room and you're saying, I just need someone to pray for me. That's it. I just need someone to pray for me. This is why they are here. Now, every week we don't have enough prayer partners. I could have 70 of them and it's still not enough. But when they come down, when you come down to the bottom of the aisle, we got the best ushers in the world. They'll point you to the first available prayer partner. There's no official dismissal. You can leave whenever you get ready. Next Sunday, I'll speak on part 3 of the series. But before you leave, let's sing this song one time through before anyone goes. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May His face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May His countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.